Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Happy Foot, Sad Foot, your LAFC gateway drug and the only LAFC podcast that turns all the lights off in the stadium when a bird of prey is on the loose. I'm Travis Helwig.
And I'm Darren Miller. Welcome to our preview of two LAFC MLS matches. The first on Wednesday, September 20th versus St. Louis City at 5:30 p.m. at City Park. In all caps, one word, like an acronym that stands for nothing, followed by the Philadelphia Union at 4:30 on Saturday, September 23rd, at Subaru Park in Philadelphia, spelled and pronounced normally. You can watch both on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV Plus, and the Union match is the free match of the week there. And we will be hosting a live watch-along during the St. Louis match on Wednesday on the official LAFC Twitch and YouTube channels.
We got a good track record with those. If I remember correctly, we've won both other times we've done that. And please come watch the game with us so they keep asking us to do it despite the team losing every time we do.
Why do I have in my memory that they won last time that we did it?
They didn't.
Okay. So still feeling like it's better to just pretend they won.
Yeah, they won.
Okay, cool. Anyway, of course, for both matches, we'll also be live streaming our post-game call-in show 10 minutes after the final whistle at youtube.com/@happyfootsadfoot. You can subscribe now and get notified when we go live. Also, if you enjoy the show and you want to help us keep making it, become a friend of the foot by clicking the Patreon link in the show notes or pick up some half-o-saffo merch by going to happyfootsadfootpod.com.
Later in the show, our resident soccer expert, Vince LaRosa, will join us to break down the ins and outs of both St. Louis City and the Philadelphia Union. And as always, we're going to talk about all the storylines for the matches, and we're going to make some bets. But first, we're just going to sit back and enjoy that post El Trafico glow. It's time for listener mandated banter. Darren, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Can you imagine how bad it would be if we're sitting here trying to record this podcast after an El Trafico loss?
I wouldn't be good. It certainly would feel a lot different as a four-game losing streak, but we don't have to live in that world, Darren. We don't have to imagine that world.
We don't even have to feel that world.
All we have to know is we're on a one-game winning streak.
A huge one-game winning streak. Just a massive one-game winning streak.
The talk of the league, one-game winning streak.
It's all anyone can talk about.
It's this and Argentinian
LAFC is so
pizza.
Hot.
Yeah. Did you see that pizza?
Yeah. It's something.
I saw Alexis Guerreros, our good friend, talk about it. And I don't like when he talks about pizza because I fought him on the Cooligans about this. But he doesn't like New Haven style pizza, which is the best pizza in America.
Well, I'm going to disagree.
You're going to go with Boston?
I loved everything he had to say. I loved the segment. I think
yes, the segment was good. I just don't. I know instinctually.
I think he's right.
Deep down, he's wrong on pizza.
About New Haven pizza?
New Haven
pizza's fine.
Who's your favorite good. Pizza in LA?
In LA? Oh, yeah. I really like LBK, which is
that?
Happens is near me. So maybe it's like if my net is, if the extent of my net is like sort of
near delivery me, on that's DoorDash. My favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in, I want to say it's like Tulika Lake or Studio City, but it's awesome. I mean, there's two locations. The other location is in Brooklyn. It's LBK stands for Love Brooklyn. It's great pizza. It's LA. There's good versions of every kind of food here.
You
just have to find it for pizza.
Pizza and bagels have gotten so much better than when we moved here a decade ago. Like,
that is so true. That is so true. I remember moving here and being like, huh, you really have to hunt for the good pizza and the good bagels don't exist. And now it's like,
there's a lot of,
you know, most neighborhoods, there's a good pizza option and there are a good handful of like solid bagel options popping up. I don't know what people figured out, but they figured it out.
I have multiple good pizza places that deliver here.
Me too.
Where I live in Highland Park. My favorite is currently Ozzy's Pizza. Beats, which is New Haven style pizza that they sell out of Glendale, and they deliver, and it's great. That's if you awesome. Don't know about New Haven style pizza, it's made in a coal fire oven. It's like burnt on the bottom, so it's supposed to be really crispy, really oily, super thin. It's great. It's the
I do really love that kind of pizza. You gotta get the plain pizza, right?
Yeah, I don't know. People always say that. That's like the specialty, but I don't know if it's like what you tell someone who's never had it before, because it is a little...
Oh, interesting. That's a tough situation.
Yeah, it's not a gateway drug, I would say. Like,
yeah, is it easier to get people into LAFC at first exposure or into New Haven style pizza at first exposure?
I would say New Haven style pizza, hands down.
Oh, wow.
I would say the majority of people would be like, oh, MLS? No, thanks. I'm not interested.
Sure. Well, if you go maybe MLS is the clam pizza.
Right. It's so like, I have to, I go, there's a bird that gets released. But it's at an MLS game.
Yeah, you're talking, a lot of your friends are just like avid bird watchers. They're like, oh, a bird?
Oh, you're telling me I could see a bird? I pay like $30, I get to see a bird? All right. Oh, is that a soccer game? Sure, I guess. It's pretty fun.
I guess I could.
Start
well,
the show.
How well
Start
lit
the
is
show.
It?
Okay.
All right. Well, we're a few minutes into the episode, which means it's time to reveal that I'm just here for a good time and I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. I love LAFC as much as anyone, but if I want to enjoy a team anywhere beyond a surface level, that's like a lot of work, man. I don't have time for that kind of research. I have a full-time job and a house teeming with small children, none of whom have any interest whatsoever in expected goals analysis. Luckily, my friend and co-host Travis, the human LAFC crazy wall, has completely stripped his life of all its non-LAFC trappings and worldly temptations so he could dedicate his life to the club like a wildly misguided monk. And he's here to expose the storylines beneath the surface of this week's matches so you know everything to look out for, you know the deeper significance of every moment, and if you're headed to your first match and you're weirdly obsessed LAFC fan of a friend sent you this as some kind of strange pre-match homework assignment, you know what the fuck is going on. With the match, definitely, with your friend partially, in a segment we call Storylines.
I like that I exposed the storylines. It's
I already used the word reveal, I believe, so.
I'm a monk gone wrong exposing things. We don't need to go too deep into it.
Deep investigative monk.
Darren, I don't know if you remember this, but just a few days ago, people were out here saying that LAFC is a team that never wins big games.
I don't know who could have possibly said something like that.
And then on Saturday, the team that doesn't win big games happened to, Darren, win a big game.
Oh.
How are you feeling after the big win against the Galaxy? How are you feeling before, during, and after? And has the glow maintained?
The glow is here, man. The glow is here to stay until the game on Wednesday, for sure. It was everything I dreamt it would be. I remember on the last episode, I said, I hope this game can be the one that galvanizes the team to turn it into a big win and hopefully springboard them to more to finish the season strong. It was exactly that kind of game. I think Steve Cherundolo in the post game conference said something like it was clear from the first minute who was going to win this game.
What's frustrating about this team is that when we're good, when we're competent, we're really fucking competent. And when we're bad,
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's like when everything's going according to plan, they're incredible. They're like so historically good.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well, you're going to set the – we didn't set the bar that high. You did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. That's what I'm hoping for now.
Everyone's to blame. Well, yeah. There are just 6 games left in the regular season. And that brings us to the first storyline of the match, which is this. Ooh, that's a tight table.
Table's so tight.
That table tight.
That table is so tight. Oh my
God. If your friend made you listen to this table. Hey, did anyone check it out? That table tight.
That table is so tight.
Any goodwill we've built up over the course of the season is going to be destroyed in a week with how much we enjoy tight table.
I think I was enjoying their show, but then they just got stuck on this bit where I think they just enjoyed the phonetics of a phrase too much. I don't know.
Tight table. It's like an acting exercise.
I can't believe how tight the table is.
Terry's table's tight. Heading into the final month of the season, we are currently in second place in the West with 43 points on the tight table. Portland is currently in 9th place, which is the final playoff spot. They have 36 points. That means there is only a total of 7 points separating us and the bottom of the playoff points in the table. So we're at 43, 9th place is at 36. That's only 7 points. Just a reminder of our closest competition around us. The Sounders are in 3rd place with 42 points, 1 point behind us. And Vancouver has a game in hand on us and 41 points, which is 2 points behind us. Any way you slice it, Darren, that's a tight table. The one team I didn't mention is the team who's ahead of us, who we happen to be playing on Wednesday. And that's St. Louis City, who is 6 points ahead of us with 1 game less than we do. Sorry for all these numbers. But that means that this game on Wednesday is a true 6-pointer. If we lose, we will drop to 9 points behind first place. But if we win, we will only be 3 points out of the lead. It is an absolute must win if we want to win the West. It'll easily be the biggest game remaining in our season if we desire to win the West and get home field advantage all the way through the Western Conference playoffs. So if we drop 7 points, we're out of the playoffs. And if we gain 6, we win the West. Darren, how's that make you feel?
Honestly, can I admit something to you? I often feel stupid on this. This show is half about me being stupid to the world to learn. But this is like next level stupid. I don't get the 6-point, 3-point thing. I don't get it. Every time someone says it, I'm like, sure.
You mean like this is a 6-pointer?
Yeah. If they have 3 points, how is that not just 3 points?
Here's the easiest explanation. The difference in how we'll end up on the table is 6 points. So if we lose the game, we will be 9 points behind them. But if we win the game, we will be 3 points behind them. Whereas normally, it would take 2 games to jump that amount. In a single game, we can jump that amount. Does that make sense?
Because we're currently 6 points behind them.
Yes. So a loss to them would drop us 9 points behind them. And a win against them would bring us to 3 points. So that's a total of 6.
Okay, now it makes sense. So the 6 points is in the difference in possibility.
Right. And normally, in order to do outcomes. That, 2 different games have to have an outcome. In this game, it's all happening in 1 game.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Great. Tight table.
I've been a sports fan my entire life. And now that makes sense.
I do think the 6-pointer thing is a little bit, it's like, it takes a little bit of it. Whatever. Adding more drama to all of this math that people have definitely turned off the podcast for is the fact that both games this week are against quite difficult opponents, which brings us to our second storyline of the match, Darren, which is this. Both St. Louis and Philadelphia want revenge. St. Louis was riding high when we played them earlier in the season at BMO on July 12th. And in that game, we were scoreless in the first 72 minutes until St. Louis completely fell apart. Vela scored in the 72nd, Stipe Buick in the 84th, and then Sifu in the 92nd. By all accounts, It was an embarrassing finish to the game for St. Louis City. St. Louis knew we were a true test to see if they were a contender in this league, and they came up way short. I have a bit of a feeling they're not going to want that to happen again in their home turf, but the real revenge game in my mind will be coming from Philadelphia on Saturday, who I can only imagine wants our entire team dead. First, we beat them in the best MLS Cup final of all time when Gareth Bale scored in the 292nd minute to bring us to PKs, where John McCarthy absolutely crushed his old team's dreams. And then, this year in the Champions League semifinals, they were gearing up for this huge rematch to take down the champs, and we absolutely crushed them in a quite easy match, 3-0, with goals by Tillman, Opoku, and Bawanga. After that game, Philadelphia head coach Jim Curtin said in the post-game interview that this current version of LAFC is the greatest MLS team of all time. After he said that, we never looked the same again. It was maybe the words that cursed us the most. Yeah. And when I give myself shit for saying in the past that we could be the best team of all time, Jim Curtin, the man who everyone says is the best coach in the league, said it. So I'm not dumb. Jim Curtin's dumb. Also, I got to say another thing about Jim Curtin that I've said a couple times on this show. I don't think he's that good of a dresser. I'm tired of people saying that he's a really good dresser. Like, just because he wears an expensive jacket and 2015 Hypebeast sneakers, we think he's fucking cool? What are we talking about? And maybe he's like a Philadelphia 8. He's an LA 3 easily. But like, if you're over 40 and you buy your sneakers on StockX, that makes you a good dresser? What are we even doing here? It's so infuriating to me. It's so dumb. It's the same people who think Greg Berhalter pouncing the ball behind his back is cool. It's like, are we so fucking starved for American soccer content that we think a guy in sneakers and another person doing a bounce pass is fucking interesting? I had a bad day. I'm really letting it out on Jim Curtin. I'm so fucking tired of people talking about Jim Curtin like he looks cool. And oh, you know, I was looking this up, Darren. Guess how old Jim Curtin is?
Oh, 40?
Fuck, you ruined my point. I thought he was 50, like 59. He's 44. I think he looks much older than that.
Yeah, I don't know. He looks ageless to me. He looks like not particularly young or old. He looks.
Want
like
to know that. Why? Because he dresses poorly. He does a mix of a suit and sneakers, which is something only tech bros and like kids in pop punk bands do. Yeah, I'll wear suits with sneakers, and I wear like a Prada jacket. The whole thing's fucking stupid. You know who dresses well? I'm sorry, I got to get this out. Kellen Acosta dresses well. Russell Westbrook dresses well. Fucking Pep is in a turtleneck for Man City on the sidelines. Why aren't we talking about him? We're talking about fucking Jim Curtin's $200 sneakers. Oh, he's got dunks on. That's real fucking cool. I wore the same shoes in 2009, Jim Curtin. Ugh, I had a bad day. I'm sorry.
I'm afraid to chime in because I'm afraid you'll stop.
He's a former professional athlete. He should have better style than that. Go ahead, Darren.
No, yes. I think that's the crux here is the bar should be high for people in his position, and we're setting the bar very low.
There is a deeper
sickness of some kind going on that we all have. If the bar is that low, not just for him, but in general.
It is. It's like MLS is cool, right? We got a cool
coach. Yes. Yes.
That's
a form-fitting t-shirt. Isn't that cool? Aren't we cool? Can't we play soccer also? What? Why are you even on that road? You're not going to win on that road.
What are we even talking about? Why are we talking about him? Like, it's just, okay, you got to keep going. Anyways, the way I feel about Jim Curtin's fashion is the way Philly feels about us. They hate our guts. They want to make us feel how we made them feel.
Harsh.
Philly is currently fourth in the West with 47 points, which is more than us, Darren, and they're only in fourth. And they've won two of their last four games.
Sorry, Darren, I'm still wrapping my head around simple subtraction.
Which revenge game are you most worried about? St. Louis in St. Louis or Philly in Phily?
I think St. Louis in St. Louis is more of a wild card. I think Philly in Philly is like, if we lose that, that's our, like, we should know them by now. And it's like, if we lose, we screwed that up. Not that it should be easy, but like, that's a matchup we understand and we know how to wrap our heads around. And we should, like, the task is clear. I think with St. Louis City, like, they're trying to hold on to the top spot. I think there's a lot more variables at play. I don't think we got lucky the first time we played them, but you know, we've only seen them once, right? And they've been winning a whole lot this year.
Yeah. If we had to choose which one game to play our best players against, and I think we're going to play them for both games, but if we had to choose, I would say St. Louis. Philly just has less stakes, I think, because it only affects us in the Western Conference, and I think it's our only Eastern Conference game left. So I would say,
yeah,
I do think if you told me we lost in Philly, I mean, I don't want to lose either of these games for obvious reasons, but I think Philly owes us one. And if we beat them, then we have their number completely. Like they're good enough that they should have beaten us in one of these games. And if they don't, I don't know if they'll ever beat us because they owe us one.
Whoa. But
we're going to go more in depth on those teams with Vince next segment. So I'll leave that there. But the last storyline of this week is one every LAFC fan is wondering, which is this. Will our roster changes stick from El Tráfico? Against the Galaxy, we made two pretty massive roster changes. First, we started Kike Oliveira up front instead of Mario Gonzalez and slotted Carlos into more of a central position. And as we said last week, there were a lot of fans in the LAFC community that had already lost faith in Mario. We didn't think that was smart. We broke down why that was too impatient last week. But Kike looked really good up there. He provided energy and movement that we've been lacking since Opoku left. He reminded me of a little bit more poised of an Ordaz with the same sort of frenetic energy. I liked what I saw, but I don't know if I'd prefer Kike starting every game. I still want to give Mario some stuff. What do you think?
I think the difference is that from what I saw, and I don't know if this is right. Vince will tell us. But it felt like Mario knows how to be in the right place to receive the ball and get a shot off, and Kike was there to facilitate more. And when you're playing with Vela and Buanga, I feel like the latter is going to be more complementary to those two players.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think that's a very smart thing you just said.
Oh, thanks. But I still don't know how to subtract 3 or 6. So take it with a grain of salt.
The other big change is obviously Maxime Crépeau starting over John McCarthy in goal. McCarthy's played an unbelievable season for us, even though he's our backup. But he made some big mistakes at times, including a pretty big mistake against Portland, which set the tone for the game and gave Dolo the opportunity to finally give the starting position back to Max. Max also had some hiccups in his first game back, but I don't think anyone thinks that Max isn't the more talented of the two. But McCarthy has proved that he can handle his own against literally anyone, despite a few mistakes. Darren, if you were Steve Cherundolo, are you sticking with Max? Or are you swapping back to McCarthy or going back and forth?
I think at this point you can keep Max and then you have McCarthy as an easy sub if something terrible happens.
So your guess is that Max gets horrifically injured again?
No, I don't mean something terrible as far as an injury goes, but if it's just
those are our storylines for this week's match. Darren thinks Max is going to get horrifically injured. When we come back,
we're going to
go more in depth on our two opponents with some guy named Vince LaRosa.
Oh, I love that guy. And we're back. Now that you've been listening to this episode, you've listened to Travis having to explain to me very simple math. If it's not clear at this point, I don't know what I'm talking about. But when it comes to soccer, we do have another host on this show. Vince LaRosa is here with us now. And he's going to try to explain to me everything that we need to know about St. Louis City and the Philadelphia Union. And I won't understand much of it. But I do also have Travis here who can explain in a language that I understand. And between the three of us, we're going to come up with an explanation of what the hell's going on with these two teams. This is a segment called Soccer for Dummies.
Better than forget it.
Better than forget it.
We don't have a sound. We don't have a sound.
We didn't make a sound for it.
It's the first
time
we're doing it.
We decided what the name of it was moments ago, guys.
Just now.
Literally seconds ago.
You can't find and hire a robot to do the sound in that amount of time.
It was between Soccer for Dummies and Tactics Translator. So you guys let us know in the comments what you like more.
Teach me Vince? Didn't we
teach
think
me
about
Vince.
A segment?
Teach me Vince.
That was an idea from ways back. I just love you teach couldn't do Vince. Simple math, so this is gonna go great.
You missed it. I had the courage to ask Travis out loud why people say that it's a 6-point game when you You know what a 6-point game is. I'm not going to explain to you.
Actually, please do. Actually, I would love to now hear you be able to regurgitate it back.
It's confusing to me.
Okay, like, the audience doesn't need to hear points. It again. Vince, teach us about the
Vince,
team.
This is a tall order. I am the dummy. You are the soccer. What's your question? I don't know. Should we start with St. Louis City's the next match, right? Okay, so.
Good start.
What should I know about the way that they play the game of soccer versus the way that we play versus the way that Philadelphia plays? How are we approaching these matches from actually on the field?
So we talk about LAFC and we've talked about them maybe kind of sort of having only one way to play. Maybe they can play a little bit differently. We saw them play a little bit differently against Galaxy. We were all very happy. St. Louis, though, can only play one way, and it's through the high press. They're a Red Bull style high press. They're second in the league in PPDA, and basically they are, I don't want to say run and gun, but they kind of are. It's like, we don't really want the ball. We just want the ball as close to your goal because we're going to press you, and that's how we're going to create chances.
So, Darren, okay. they're cocaine and wear mushrooms.
Okay.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So they're running around, they're trying to press you, and we can absorb a little bit. We can feel it out, and we can see the world around us with our eyes open.
Right.
I think that's basically what Vince is saying.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
PPDA one more time. That stands for what?
Passes
passes.
Yeah.
Passes per defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Next question.
Actions. I mean, it's self-explanatory, guys. I'm pretty sure.
Passes per defensive actions.
Travis, if you could, because I'm sure, Darren, you're wondering, what's a defensive action?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that like when you guard someone?
Yeah, I think that's right. That's right.
How do you measure an action on defense?
Vince, you don't have to follow up on this because I think you're going to agree with me right away. It's like when you're playing FIFA and you press that one button to like kind of shift your feet in front of the person a little bit. That's what it is. It's you press like the L button, right?
Okay.
What is it actually?
Honestly, it is kind of a great term, but it's something where it's like a team will build, right? And how often can you get on them and get a pressure or a turnover or a recovery or a loose ball or even the ball out of play? So basically what St. Louis does...
So basically like a forced pass?
Yes. So it's almost like an unforced error, right? But the metric doesn't really take into account if St. Louis wins the ball back. It just you disrupt their passing sequence. And St. Louis does is... They're one of the best teams at keeping teams at the lowest amount of passes. So the amount of times the opponent against St. Louis does not have time on the ball to do 10, 13, 14, 15 passes because they're just not going to let you.
Got it. Yes, that makes sense. So you're not forcing them to pass more. You're forcing them to pass to the point where you're going to get a turnover.
Correct.
More quickly. Got it. Okay. I actually am getting this. This is helping. This is great.
Oh, yeah, you're visualizing it now, right?
You're welcome.
Yes. Well, I'm mostly just enjoying thinking about LAFC being on shrooms.
Well, when we had trouble with possession, we should have just shown up in that team room and been like, boys, you're going to take a couple caps of these each and we're all going to be good.
The team would certainly grow closer if not win. Okay. Is that all we need to know about St. Louis City?
Well, I think the flip side of it is that is all they can do, right? So if you're LAFC, they go for broke on the press. But their numbers, their underlying numbers are not good. They're actually a bit lucky because their XG is one of the worst in the league, yet somehow they are in first place. So their XG against is abysmal, but they don't give up as many actual goals. So the press can be broken, and that's really what LAFC wants to do. And St. Louis, for the life of them, they have no other setting. It's just press, and then you got to break the press.
XG is expected goals?
XG is expected goals. And then there's also expected goals against.
Expected goals against the other team's expected goals?
It's the ones that you're expected to give up. And when you give them up, you're sad. But when you get them, you're happy.
All right. That works.
We're both soccer experts, Vince. We both know this stuff.
How has this show lasted this long without Vince?
I don't like...
It feels like we're actually talking about soccer for the first time in this history of the show. Before we move on to Philly, who are the players that, when we see just numbers on jerseys, who's the bigger threats?
They have a big Brazilian guy with a name that doesn't sound Brazilian in João Klaus. He plays up top. Okay. He's just your big bruising forward.
He's Brazilian?
He is Brazilian. That's where so the João comes from. But yes, João Klaus is Brazilian. Does not look it either. If you took the name off the jersey, you just saw his headshot. No chance you'd ever imagine
full
that man
German.
Was Brazilian.
Full German.
Yeah, we're talking Klaus with a K?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Sinter Klaus.
But looking at him, you can kind of imagine the way he plays. Like, he's all forehead, like just tall guy, kick towards my head. I'll find a way to bundle it in. That's João Klaus. The other guy, maybe a slightly more cultured, but also a physical guy, Edward Lovren. Is your like do all midfielder. He can tackle, he can run after you, he can play 60 yard passes, he can shoot from distance, he can dribble. Those are the two guys that you want to make sure you shut down, and then the supporting cast you can maybe deal with a little bit easier.
So if we're breaking
those
are
the that. Two I was gonna say. Those are the two.
Oh, thank you, Travis. Thanks so much.
Yeah, if you have a third option, Travis, you go ahead and...
No, those are the... Wait, do you say Klaus? Did you say Klaus?
Yeah.
You said Klaus? Yeah. No, those are the two. Those are okay. The two.
So if we're breaking
I
the
do
press...
know. I do know that they have a dog park in their stadium.
That's important too. That's why we have... This is perfect. We need both things. We do.
But how would you say that maybe translates to the way they play at home?
I would say that their fans
like dogs?
Are distracted. Yeah.
Their fans
are
busy with
their dogs.
All right,
let's move to Philly. We got to move on.
Wait,
real
quick, because this might apply to Philly too. When you're breaking the high press, is that more short passes or long ball?
Oh, this is a good question. You can do both. So it just depends on how well you're getting through it. But I will say this, you have to decide. There's no like hybrid short, long. You either go long or you go short.
You have a plan, right?
You got to have a plan.
What do we do?
Is that
usually?
So? What's
LAFC? From what we've seen, let's say other than the Galaxy, when they were a little bit more patient, they go long because they have guys like Danny Bwanga and now Christian Oliveira who are very fast and can get on the end of passes. The only problem with that is if you go long and you don't get that first ball, the ball can just as quickly come back the other way, and you might be out of sorts. And that's some of the problems we saw LAFC had during this tough streak.
Got it. So is Philly doing the same thing? Are they pressing?
So Philly is doing something that they are pressing, but what they like to do is they will build a little bit. So they don't mind having the ball a little bit, but they want to get it forward. They want to get overloads. And when they lose the ball, gegenpress.
Gegenpress?
Gegenpress.
Gegenpress. Gegenpress.
Is that like Blitzkrieg?
I mean, same origin.
Yeah. They're both.
They do I feel like if they do a German thing, it's like we kind of all understand what that means.
Both teams
they
are
go hard and fast.
Well, I mean, both teams, you know, like the Red Bull kind of philosophy comes from Germany. So both teams are kind of leaning more in the spectrum. Whereas St. Louis, though, has just kind of one way they do it. Philly has a little bit better players, let's say, all around from top to bottom, which you would expect from a team that was runners up at MLS Cup and level on points with LAFC, although losing out in tiebreaker for the Supporters Shield.
Tough loss in the MLS Cup for them. Really sad how that turned out.
Yeah, bummer. I feel for them. I do, especially to get beaten by, you know, another man from Philly that just ate their lunch. But they look to overload. So they look to overload. They'll get the ball long. They want to keep it as close to their opponent's goal, but they're much better at gegenpressing and overloading, which helps with the gegenpressing.
Gegenpressing.
What?
Gegenpressing.
Is that your German? Wait, is that your German accent?
Gegenpressing.
What am I doing?
Sounds a little like Swedish.
Yeah. I think I've said this at the podcast. My grandmother was Polish, and she only taught me one Polish phrase, which was "Idź do mnie spać," which means "go home and go to sleep." And so I'm trying to
apply that.
Gig impressing. But I'm rolling the S's and the R, or I'm rolling the R for some reason.
Yeah, it is getting a little Polish, a little Russian, a little yeah.
It just sounds foreign. But not any particular place. Sure.
Yeah, Eastern European.
80s movie villain.
Yeah. We are from Philadelphia.
No, just prepare to die.
Jim Curtin is a cool dresser. We think he dresses really well.
Wait, do we?
No, Vince, Travis, you weren't here.
You missed it. Okay. Travis went on a huge rant.
Good. I'm pro this rant then, because come on. Just because you put a pair of expensive sneakers on an expensive jacket, Vince, doesn't mean that you dress well.
Thank you.
I love it. I love it. We got to do another game on the show that's just Travis rants and then Vince comes in and guesses what the rant is. Can you guess the take? Yeah, that was bullseye.
It's just we have the standards are too low. What are we doing? What are we doing? All right, gig impress.
Okay, so they overload with the gig impress. I'm just assuming that's like a how is that different than the high press?
I will bail you out a little bit. Gig impressing is basically counter pressing. Still lost, or can we? You got counter pressing. Counter pressing is when you lose the ball.
That's a podcast.
Yeah, that's when you listen to the.
It is a fantastic podcast, and Philly should probably listen to it.
Which, if I listen to more of, I'd probably know these things.
You would, and maybe Philly should be listening to it because Kirk does make great points about how LAFC falls short at times. But no, the counter press is when you lose the ball. Some teams will decide to get back and get set defensively because it's harder to break through. Maybe let's say eight guys, where other teams and LAFC counter presses fair amount. They'll just send guys at the ball carrier and go, we're going to win the ball back as quickly as possible. And because Philly has already set up in a way that when they first play that ball, that they overloaded the side that they're playing the ball to, they normally have more players in that area to then counter press. And they've
the overload is on the side. Okay, wait, I'm still.
It doesn't have to be on the side. You can overload the middle. Overload just means
but a section.
This is
an area.
This is actually why I wanted to do this, because soccer tactics, we use all these words. And then when you go, overload just means you have more guys in area than the other team. They're like, why did you just say that? Which is basically what all tactics
are. It makes sense. But then the counter press, explain that one more time.
Counter press is when a team loses the ball, they decide that they're going to basically go for broke to get the ball back instead of dropping back into their positions into a set defensive position.
Got it. Okay. So it is just a press, but in that particular situation.
Correct.
And that's sort of what we did under Bob Bradley a lot, right?
We were much more adamant about counter-pressing for longer periods of time. That's the thing. You counter-press, which means you're sending guys, you're basically guys are just like torpedoes, right? They're heat-sinking missiles. They're like just flying in there to get the ball. If the team can either pass through you or go over you, now you're all out of position. So you have to have some kind of barometer of, we will counter press for this long. Oh no, we're in trouble. We need to get out and get back at defensively. And sometimes that hurts teams.
Yeah, that's what I asked, but I knew that.
And counter press is just to like regain a ball you just lost, basically. Or otherwise, it's a regular press. You just decide when, you know, it's a goal kick or they've got the ball in their half.
He's learning.
You're going to go for it.
Oh my God, this is a moment. This is an epiphany.
The thing
moment.
Is, I'm not a stranger to soccer, but I am a stranger to knowing what the fuck's going on, like what people are doing on purpose. That's what, I mean, all sports are like that. Like you can watch and enjoy a sport and even play a sport and know like basics and know like tactics that tactics that are like, you should shoot. Like that's a tactic. Like it's the things that are like planned that you can go a whole lifetime without ever knowing or needing to know. But it's a lot better knowing. I prefer it so far. It's nice here. Okay, so Philly. I feel like I should know their biggest weapons by now. We've played them enough times. But anything new from last time that we've played them? Or are they the devil we know still?
Actually,
Andre
not.
Blake.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's been there.
Oh, yeah. I know him. Great.
Gosdog. He's still there?
Penalty merchant. Daniel Gosdog has 12 goals this season. 10 of them are penalties. He's taken 10 penalties and made every single penalty, which is hilarious when you consider that in MLS Cup, he missed his penalty.
I bet he practiced.
Wow. He's desperately trying to make up for it. That's a very sad story.
Yeah, that's really sad, actually. Now I want him to do it. I want him to score on it.
Yeah, desperate regret. Oh, I kind of love that.
Yeah.
That puts him like kind of near the top of the Golden Boot race just BKs.
On just penalties.
Wow.
But you have Julian Carranza.
Is he the one? Is Gosdock the one I've seen some headlines about probably leaving after the season?
I mean,
who have I read that about?
No, I think you're thinking about Kai Wagner, who is out of contract. He's the left back. He is the player that I always bring up when people forget that Chiqui Palacios is one of the best left backs in the league. Kai Wagner is very good, but the reason why he gets so much attention is because he actually has stats, assists to go with it. And they do play in a way where, again, they want to keep the ball closer to the opponent's goal because, as Travis pointed out, they have a great goalkeeper. So they can rely on Andre Blake to bail them out if in certain situations. But if they can keep the ball close to the opponent's goal and they can get their physical guys forward, then they can switch the point of attack. And sometimes you have Kai Wagner with just a ton of space and he sends in great crosses and you got four or five guys in the box. They have better reactions. They react faster and they score goals. That's honestly Philly in a nutshell.
That's Philly in a nutshell.
So you're saying I got Kai Wagner's team right.
More or less. By the guy player.
I think you could probably say that about any team in the league. Isn't there a guy that might leave?
I saw someone tweet. This is the team someone was tweeting about, right?
Wasn't there transfer there was rumors around this team? Didn't we hear about some movement one way or the other?
Yeah, didn't we hear? I think it was Boger said something. So
Actually, if you do find yourself like in an MLS conversation that you probably they're like maybe is over your head, I think anytime you want to like just sound smart again, just be like, oh, wasn't that the team where I heard some rumors around them about a guy maybe going to Europe? You're golden for the next 5 minutes, probably.
Just look up the latest Tom Boger tweet, and you can have something to say.
Vince, I do have a question. Which team do you think is better, Philly or St. Louis?
Philly. St. Louis, it's been weird, and this is why it's been so frustrating, I think, for LAFC fans, because the West has been ripe for somebody to just, like, take it and run with it. It seems like nobody wants to win. St. Louis did have a hot start. Yeah, it should be LAFC. St. Louis had a hot start, but, like I said, their underlying numbers are not great. They can be beaten. They definitely deserve all the credit of how well they've played, but they've got a little bit of luck on their side, whereas Philly is... It's like we said, not much changes. They really kind of they stumbled a little bit out the gate, but then they've got their feet under them again, and they've kind of picked up where they left off in being one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. And it shows. They went 2-0 down to Cincinnati, who feels like the just shoe-in to win the Supporters Shield, and they managed to get a 2-2 draw. So they can clearly run with the best of them and give some trouble to even, you know, the Cincinnati team that we've all anointed as Supporters Shield winners.
Yeah, I mean, they look like they're going to win, but it's a tight table.
The table's very tight. It's a tight table.
But would you say it's a tight table?
Yeah, I would say the table's really tight.
Cincinnati's the only one that's not at... They're not at the tight table. The rest of us are at the tight table.
They're at a bit of a different table.
They're in the kitchen cooking. What are they
doing? Yeah, they're eating alone. They're eating alone. They're at the bar.
They are in the kitchen cooking. That's good.
With their wooden spoon they won last year. Go ahead, Darren.
Oh, that was nice.
Nice. Okay. I feel like now I can watch these games like the meme with all the math coming from my head. And I'm now, I guess I would say I've gone from dummy to genius in this one segment. I think anyone would probably agree with that. So when we come back, what was that, Travis?
You finally got to do it to me.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to make some bets. And we're back. Now it's time for a segment called Bet It and Forget It.
Bet It and Forget It.
Every week, Travis and I end the show with a bet for this week's games. We make an outlandish prediction for the week, something that almost definitely will not happen, but could. Each week, we both put up $5. If no one hits, the money rolls over to the next week, and eventually, by the time someone's weird prediction comes true, they might win a good chunk of change. Neither of our bets cashed last week, so our bet pool for this week is now $70. It's getting up there.
Yeah.
Last week, you bet that...
Mario Gonzalez would have the goal of the week. Turns out he wasn't going to start. But Ryan Hollingshead
He did get in there.
Didn't get a goal. What was yours?
That Bwanga would have redemption assist to Vela and Puig would get a card.
I would say that Bwanga was really trying to get that for you.
He watched the episode and he was like, I'm going to do it for him. for that weird...
first like 20 minutes, he was just like, I have to pass every time I have the ball.
The fans must know I'm here. I'm doing
I recognize my mistake and I shall fix it.
The funny thing is, in my mind, it was the way he approached the game that gave him the goals. So, you know, all he did was prove people's point.
If he's going to shoot every time, it's easier to defend him because you know he's going to shoot every time. I have a prediction this week that I'm very confident in, Darren. We're at $70.
It's about time.
And this week, in one of the two games, Fufu Krustev is going to choke someone. Fufu Krustev is going to choke someone.
Oh, no.
In one of the two games. I don't know who, but he's going to do it.
Wow. Okay. That's a sad one. A lot of violence in your predictions throughout the season.
The strike's taking a toll on me.
Yeah. Okay. My bet is that Maxime Crippo will have an assist.
That's a cool bet. I like that bet.
In one of these two games.
Less violent, though. I wish it had a little bit more violence.
Yeah. I don't know. If he assists in a crime, that also counts.
What is it called when you're like, what's that? What is that called? If you're like aiding and abetting a crime?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if he's an accomplice.
Accomplice. Yeah. 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 He's an accomplice to a crime. All right. Well, we shall see. That's our show. We'll see you soon.
Yes. Just a reminder, we'll be live streaming a watch along on LAFC's Twitch and YouTube channels during the St. Louis City match. Please come hang out with us. Get weird in the comments. Bring the party there. Keep the party going for a post-game call-in show 10 minutes after the final whistle of both matches on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@happyfootsadfoot. There's a link in the show notes. Talk to us in the chat. We'll post a link. You can join us live on the show. It'll be a lot of fun.
Our theme music is done by the insane team of James Valentine, Nate Walcott, and Louis Palmer. Along with YouTube, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and I don't know anywhere else. And if you made it this far into the episode, chances are you're enjoying the show. And if that's true and you want to show your support, please consider becoming a friend of the foot at $5 a month at patreon.com/happyfootsadfoot. We're splitting that money between me, Darren, and Vince equally, so any help goes a long way to helping us keep making this show. You could also pick up some pod-inspired merch by going to happyfootsadfootpod.com. Any support goes a long way to building the community and keeping LAFC Media going strong. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the live stream, baby.
See you live. See you on the internet.
I love you. Bye.
I love you. Bye. I love you. Bye.
I love you, Jim Curtin. Bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.